Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The great folk singer Woody Guthrie lived in and around New York for many years. Now his family has released a combination walking tour and audio history of Woody Guthrie's New York. And if you want, you can take the tour without ever leaving your home. We'll show you how in just a bit. We're also going to do a little peanut butter taste test. And when I say we, I actually mean they, the British band Glass Animals. They'll take the peanut butter taste test because their song Gooey, which they're going to play live for us, has a repeating line about peanut butter vibes. Actually, some of these peanut butters don't look so gooey. This one seems to have something in it. Whoa, that's pretty spicy. Peanut butter mixed with fiery chilies. Well, all right. Now, I like spicy food, but I don't know about the guys in Glass Animals, so I have to decide whether to warn them in advance. Well, we'll figure that out when the time comes. Right now... Lenny Kravitz has reached the point in his career where he doesn't have to do anything, but he might actually be busier now than ever before. He's been acting in films like the Hunger Games series, he's had notable success with his design firm, but he hasn't stopped playing music. His latest album, his 10th, is called Strut, and it brings Lenny Kravitz back to our Soundcheck studio. Good to see you again.
It's good to be here.
So, last time you were here, you had just released the album called Black and White America, you know, whose title sort of announced its intentions. Mm-hmm. Now you have this record called Strut.
Yes.
What do we read into that title? What's the intent here?
We know what strutting is.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, I remember that word from growing up. You know, my grandmother, if I had on like a... you know, cool outfit, she'd be like, you know, strut your stuff, baby, you know. but for me, I was using it in a less superficial way. And the message is to be who you are, mm-hmm. to be proud of who you are, whatever you are. We're all individuals. We're all freaks of some sort. And so just, you know, be authentic. Be who you are and walk tall.
So, you know, you talk about be who you are, be what you are. Mm. When you look in the mirror, what are you these days? Are you a musician, an actor, a designer? Is it, you know?
All of it. That's the beauty. I never wanted to be limited. You know, I grew up being, there's one guy who inspired me, Gordon Parks, who, you know, was a filmmaker, a director, a writer, a musician, a composer, a photographer, you know, I love this. I love using different mediums to express myself. And I've always been a person that has been into doing different things. Like even if it was just music, I didn't want to just play one instrument.
Right.
You know, I wanted to play all the instruments that I could play. You know, I love design. I started a design firm, Kravitz Design, about 14 years ago. And, you know, very quietly, very organically. And now we're working alongside, you know,
Some
designers and, you know, great projects, and it's wonderful. And then the acting thing, that sort of came out of nowhere. I mean, I did act when I was a kid, and I think my mother thought I was going to be an actor, but music had me, so I gave that up. But I met Lee Daniels in a restaurant one night who said he'd been trying to reach me and wanted to work with me and thought that I should be acting, and that's how that started, by him casting me in that role of Nurse John in Precious, which started the whole thing. And then Gary Ross, the director of the first Hunger Games, saw that and hired me for Hunger Games. And now, you know, Well, I've made four films now.
And the interesting thing is they don't seem to be like parallel tracks that don't ever converge because this album, the story goes, this album came out of your work on the second Hunger Games movie.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that it was inspired by, but it was time for the music to come out. And so here I am in Atlanta, you know, living these ridiculous actor hours where they wake up at 5 a.m, you know. It's completely backwards to my normal schedule where I go to sleep at 5 a.m. So I'd film all day and, you know, you'd be tired at the end of the day and ready for bed to get up the next morning. Well, all this music started coming into my head. I started hearing all this music and you have to make a choice. You let it go and sleep and, you know, do that whole thing, or capture it. And so my choice was to capture it because, you know, I have to.
But now you can't just walk off the set and say, guys, I got a song run through my head, so what do you do?
So I stayed up for about 2 weeks. I didn't sleep for 2 weeks. Maybe an hour every couple nights I got, which was crazy, which is
kids, don't try this at home.
If I look tired in Catching Fire, you'll know why. but I had my you know, my iPhone, and I would just record melodies and... Normally, I mean, I always work very spontaneously. I always work very organically. I don't sit down to write. I write when I hear it. Mm-hmm. But normally, I'm at least in the location, or I say, okay, I'm going to make an album, so I go back down to the Bahamas, and I sit and I wait to hear things. In this case, I mean, I wasn't in my environment. I wasn't at the studio, and I had no idea that I would be doing it. So it was cool, and it happened really quickly. And I really enjoyed that process of just having it slip out like that.
We're speaking with Lenny Kravitz about his new record called Strut. This is the lead single from the album called The Chamber.
You played your game, used me like a pawn. Checkmate, you're done, and then you were gone. Did I move too fast? I thought we would last.
That's called The Chamber, the lead single from Lenny Kravitz's new record called Strut. The musician and actor with me here on Soundcheck. So this album sounds like it did not come the usual way for you. Is the result, do you look at this and say, yeah, I couldn't have done this if I was going through my regular routine?
Probably. I mean, all my albums are different, so I can't really compare any of them. And I also ended up not mixing this album, which is a first for me. Because
for folks who aren't in the business, that's an important step, the mix down.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, I mean, it changes a lot. It can change a lot. Mm-hmm. I was beginning to mix it, and I realized that what I was doing was very reminiscent of Bob Clearmountain.
Great
and
producer.
For people who don't know his mixes or his production, I mean, he's everything from the Chic records, which are phenomenal, to Born in the USA, to David Bowie's Let's Dance, to Tattoo You by the Stones. I was doing things that were very reminiscent of that era, that sound, and that Bob Clearmountain thing. And so I figured, why am I trying to emulate somebody who exists, who can do this? So I got his phone number and I called, and I, you know, of course, started telling him what a big fan I was of his work, and that I'd made this record and I'd been mixing it and I'd been sort of copying his style on the mix, and I wondered, you know, if you'd be all right with mixing my record. And he said, I've been waiting for you to call. That was his first sentence. So I thought that was a nice way to start. You know, we'd kiss each other's asses, and I went out to L.A. and we mixed the record, and that's where this record really came to life.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So, comes to you on set in Atlanta, did you say?
Yes, and then I went down to the Bahamas.
Recorded in the Bahamas, mm-hmm. mixed in L.A.
Yes.
And yet, at least in part,
right.
this sounds like a love letter to New York City.
Oh, absolutely. I you know, people always say, like, where do you have to be to create something? To be, you know, if you want to make a record that has an urban edge to it, you have to be in the city. Or if you're going to make this really calm record, you have to be on an island. For me, no. It's all in my head, so it doesn't matter where I am. And this record does have a New York-ness to it. There's even a song called New York City.
Yeah, let's hear the song. It's called simply New York City from my guest Lenny Kravitz. She gave me a line, came up through the inner city. Kravitz with the song New York City.
Yeah, I dig that.
Yeah, I do too. The album's called Strut, the latest from Lenny Kravitz, his 10th record in a career dotted with other accomplishments. The movies, of course, Precious, The Two Hunger Games, mm-hmm. Lee Daniels, The Butler, not to mention playing yourself in Zoolander. Is that acting when you are Lenny Kravitz?
That was my toughest role, man. That was my toughest role. I didn't know quite how to deal with it.
What is my motivation? What is this guy thinking? Now, but the thing is, with The Hunger Games, you know, I mean, my younger daughter mm-hmm. knows you from The Hunger Games mm-hmm. and doesn't know that you're that Lenny Kravitz.
Right,
that,
right,
you know,
right.
So there's a generation of people.
Well, that's been a wonderful thing about those films. It's kind of weird walking down the street and now not only getting, you know, recognized for who I am, but, you know, who I'm not. Sinner. You know, I'm Sinner now. It's a trip.
Yeah. Sinner is the costume designer in the Hunger Games movies. Which sort of neatly segues to Kravitz Design, mm-hmm. which, you know, it seems like, you know, design is at the essence of what everybody, you know, what every creative artist does, right?
Absolutely.
You're designing sound when you're making.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
But Kravitz Design is...
it's an interiors firm, and, you know, we do all kinds of things. I mean, you know, we did a... 47-story condo in Miami, hotel projects around the world. We just got back from Las Vegas where the new SLS hotel opened, and we did the top floor of each tower.
Wow. And Queen Latifah's
worked
daytime.
Alongside us, Philippe Starck. And yeah, Queen Latifah's set, private residences and different places in the world, nightclubs, restaurants. Yeah.
Right. Now, you know, there are so many artists in one discipline who give their name to something in another discipline, mm-hmm. and basically they're just giving the name.
Right, right.
How involved are you in the actual design process?
Extremely involved. That's the joy to me. I do it because I love it, not because I'm trying to create another business or something mm-hmm. like that. It's a passion. It always has been. I have to say I love it. As much as I love music, I really do.
And the idea that someone so orally or audio attuned could also have this kind of spatial visual thing. Do you feel your brain using different creative muscles?
It's the same thing.
Coming from the
same thing to me.
Yeah.
You're creating something out of nothing, whether it be a space, a song, you know, a painting, whatever. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just creating.
Lenny Kravitz, the multi-talented Lenny Kravitz, with us here on Soundcheck. His most recent album, the brand new one, is called Strut. And on it, there is a song called Happy Birthday. It's not that Happy Birthday. It's not even that other Happy Birthday, the Beatles song.
Mm.
Last time you were here, you told us the story of Duke Ellington playing Happy Birthday to you when you
yes.
were just a kid.
Yes, yes.
And his sax player, you know, was playing the
melody.
Paul
Gonsalves, yeah. Uh-huh.
So now there's a big sax role in this song. Is that an echo of...
I never even thought about that. You're taking me to therapy. I wrote a Happy Birthday song. What could I say? I'm stuck here. I wrote a Happy Birthday song.
Well, let's hear some of Lenny Kravitz's Happy Birthday song. Kravitz and his song Happy Birthday from his new album called Strut, obviously meant to be sung along with, at least in the chorus.
Yes, absolutely.
So, strange question here, but Lenny, when you get to be our age, I'm sitting here with a sprained ankle, you know, it's like I can hardly walk. Is it hard night after night, you know, over the course of a year and a half, to do the things that you were doing when you were 20 and 25 and 30?
No, I think I do them better now.
Really?
Actually, I'm in...
So you're keeping yourself in
shape.
I'm
in the best shape I've ever been in my life, which is beautiful for me.
Yeah,
I'm feeling great.
Cool.
So I'm looking forward to it.
The big recent birthday, not such a scary thing.
Not at all, man.
All right.
It's all how you... It's all in the mind and in the heart and... the spirit, and, you know, I feel great.
All right, so you're going to get out there, and you're going to duck walk, and...
whatever I feel, absolutely.
We're going to wrap up with a cover, Ooh, Baby, Baby. Not the first time, American Woman was a big hit for you a couple of years
ago. I've only done, I think, 3 covers in my career. I had finished the album, and I knew that I wanted to do one more song, and... I felt that the writing process was over for this record. And one day while I was getting the Cine makeup put on in the makeup trailer, the makeup artist had on a 60s Motown station. And that song came on. And I hadn't heard it in a long time. I thought, how beautiful is that song? And then that was it. I went on with my day. But then I ended up in the studio. It was about 5 in the morning, and I wanted to cut one more song, and I remembered that moment. So I listened to it twice on my computer, and then just went in and cut the whole thing. And
really? So no arranging?
No, just listened twice, just to get the structure down, and then went in and just cut it. Yeah.
Wow. It's the old Smokey Robinson song, Ooh, Baby, Baby, and now it's a new Lenny Kravitz song on his album Strut. Lenny, great to see you again. Thanks for being with us.
It's good to be here, man.
Lenny Kravitz with Ooh Baby Baby. Next, more ooh sounds in the studio as the British group Glass Animals plays their song Gooey for us. And later, folk singer Woody Guthrie tracing his surprising New York connections in a walking tour of sorts. All of that coming up on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The English band Glass Animals released their debut full-length album earlier this year. It's called Zaba, inspired by the William Steig children's book The Zaba Jabba Jungle. We'll hear more about that in a minute, but first, let's hear a live performance in the Soundcheck studio. Here's Glass Animals with their song Gooey.
Or I am come close. Let me show you everything I know. A jungle slave, spinning around my head and I stay. While my naked fool, fresh out of thank you.
Nicely done. The band Glass Animals, live on Soundcheck with their song Gooey, which you will find on their most recent album called Zaba. That is out now. The members of Glass Animals include Dave Bailey, singing and playing the guitar. Hi, Dave.
Hey.
Joe Seward behind our drum kit. Hello, Joe.
Hi.
And Drew McFarland's playing keyboards and doing some backing vocals. Ed Irwin Singer playing some more keyboards and a bit of bass and more backing vocals. And guys, glad to have you with us. That is one sticky chorus you have there in that song, Gooey.
Sticky, I've never heard that one before.
Well, it is. You know, that's now a marketing term. Something is sticky.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool.
So the line about peanut butter vibes, where does that come from?
That comes from me trying to use two words to sum up quite a long tangle of things. Basically, peanut butter to me reminds me of being a kid and right. making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with my mum and rubbing peanut butter on a pine cone, rolling it in bird seeds and making a bird feeder out of it and walking around with it on a spoon.
Yeah.
And so it's just all that kind of naive youthfulness.
I was actually wondering, kids in America grow up on peanut butter, basically.
Oh, yeah.
I just wasn't sure whether it was the same in the UK.
Oh, well, I actually grew up in America.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
Where?
I grew up just outside of Boston.
Oh, okay.
Really tiny little village.
And Joe, you presumably did grow up in...
Yeah, I did. And peanut butter is definitely a thing.
Definite thing.
Yeah, it exists, and it gets eaten.
All right, I can't think of two things that go together more poorly than people who are required to either speak or sing on the radio and peanut butter. Despite that, though, we have in front of you guys a little peanut butter taste test. One of them is a little weird.
Whoa.
But your job, your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to try each of these three peanut butters without knowing in advance what they are and tell me what you think.
I accept.
You have three spoons with the numbers on each. So
oh, there's milk too. Gosh, and, you guys are pretty.
Well, you do have to sing again. So
that's true. Thanks.
So all right. Number one, try peanut butter number one, guys.
Mm.
Joe,
tastes like peanut butter, but quite sweet. Peanut
there's
butter.
Got something in it.
All right. I will tell you both what that is after you've tasted all three. All right, on to peanut butter number two. Be careful. You'll want to not take too big a bite of this one, I think. Joe is well into number two there, Dave.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah?
Be careful.
I did warn you.
Wow.
That's... Oh, my goodness. That was the right word.
Oh, my God.
Milk. That is... Milk.
Yeah,
that's
milk.
Why the milk's there.
That's just chili pepper. Chili.
Woo!
Wow.
Yeah.
My sinuses are now cleared.
All right. Wow. Peanut butter number three, if you dare.
I don't know if I want to do number three after that one.
I don't know if I'll be able to taste number three.
Yeah, I guess we should have put number two last.
I can't taste a thing. My taste buds are fried.
That's the peanut butter. I think that's just plain crunchy.
Good for you, Dave. That is, in fact, Skippy Super Chunk peanut butter.
That stuff is the bomb.
Really? Because you have also had The Heat Is On, which is peanut butter blended with fiery spices, as Joe discovered to his chagrin.
Yeah.
And it comes from Peanut Butter & Co., a peanut butter and company, which is a New York City company that only sells peanut butter. So that was peanut butter number two. That was the spicy, spicy one. And peanut butter number one, which Joe found kind of sweet and fruity, and which you, Dave, were trying to figure out what the secret ingredient was, that was coconut and peanut
fruity.
Spread.
Is that a fruit?
It's a nut. Coconut is a fruit.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Good.
And a rather sweet fruit at that. So, Joe, you were on the right track.
Okay.
Dave, you would have gotten there if we'd let you have a bit more of it.
I think
just
I might have
me.
Done.
So, those peanut butter vibes.
Oh, my God, that is so spicy.
It's still going.
I'm still suffering.
Did you eat the whole thing?
No.
He had just a tiny bit of it.
I like it.
So, there is a kind of languorous tropical flavor to a lot of this record. You know, to Zab. Is that because of the Zabba Jabba Jungle thing, the book?
It's definitely not because of that. That came later, the whole title. And I guess the tropicalness came from us being out in the wilderness a lot. We were rehearsing out in the woods in this little horse stable. And
in England?
In England, yeah.
And that was tropical?
No, but it just kind of had this, it had this atmosphere of, you know, being out in the middle of, you know, wandering off into nothingness. Yeah. So there was that side of things, and I was reading all of these books about people wandering off into the rainforest. I was reading Heart of Darkness, and I was reading Mosquito Coast, and I watched that film, The African Queen.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great film, and Apocalypse Now, which I guess is the same as Heart of Darkness in a way, and I was just trying to put the kind of ambience of all of those books into the music.
And so how does William Steig's Zabba Jabba Jungle come into the story?
He came along a little bit later.
Yeah.
I guess when we had all the pieces of the album and we were kind of choosing a track listing and listening through to it, I realized that it, much like the book, it's kind of, you know, every sort of page in the book is got different characters on it. The boy wakes up above some snakes in a hammock and he fights them off, and then the next page he's attacked by baboons and he scares them off with fireworks, and the next page he's captured by a butterfly. So different characters on each page, but under this same kind of tropical umbrella throughout the whole book.
Yeah.
So the album was a bit like that. Each song has its own characters, but under the same tropical umbrella.
Well, now, since you've already revealed that you grew up here in the States, and William Steig is an American author, I guess that explains. Did you grow up with his books in the house?
Yeah. Like, yeah, I did.
People will know him mostly from Shrek. He's the guy who created the character Shrek.
Which was a book.
Was a book. So you guys have the album out now. It's called Zabba. This has been a lot of fun. I want to thank you guys for coming in,
having
peanut butter with us. And
fiery.
It was,
Joe is still recovering.
Yeah.
You have a song you can play us out with?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, what's this?
It's Pools.
This one's called Pools.
Pools is the name of it. Okay, once again, Glass Animals from Oxfordshire, England, here in our Manhattan studio. The album's called Zabba. This song is on it, but here's another live performance. Pools is the name of it. That's the song Pools from the band Glass Animals. You can hear their full session with another song recorded live in our studio at soundcheck.org. Coming up, rambling around Woody Guthrie's New York. We'll talk with the folk singer's granddaughter next on Soundcheck.
This land is your land, and this land is my land, from the California to the New York Island.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. If you look closely, there are hidden signs all over New York that indicate the presence of this singer, the folk music icon Woody Guthrie. Though he's not often thought of as a New Yorker, he did in fact spend many years moving in and out of the city. There's a photo of him hanging in the old McSorley's Ale House, a plaque outside his first Greenwich Village apartment, and so on. But a new box set features a walking tour called My Name is New York, Ramblin' Around Woody Guthrie's Town. And it urges you to listen for signs of Woody's presence, too. Joining me in the studio is Woody's granddaughter, Anna Canone. Anna, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, your mom, Nora Guthrie, one of Woody's daughters, produced and narrates this set. Have these stories kind of been passed down in the Guthrie family?
Yeah, definitely. I grew up knowing a lot of them, but the whole project started from a simple request where tourists would come to our office on West 57th Street and say, I'm here in New York City. I'd love to see where Woody Guthrie lived. Where's his home? And so we started building a list based on where Woody wrote his lyrics from 43rd and 6th Avenue, where he wrote This Land Is Your Land. And so it evolved into a very long list. And then we had to fill in the gaps.
The
book came, and then there were still more stories to tell from Pete Seeger and Bess Lomax Hawes and Bob Dylan and Arlo Guthrie, my uncle. So to put it all together in an audiobook seemed really nice. You could walk around the city and hear the stories as you're in front of the buildings.
All right, well, now let's give listeners a taste of what they'll hear. Early in the set, we visit the apartment at 59th Street and 5th Avenue, where he first crashed, coming to New York in the 40s. And here, Nora Guthrie, Anna's mom, sets up the first time that Pete Seeger ever saw Woody Guthrie perform.
It was at this benefit concert that night that Pete Seeger heard Woody Guthrie for the very first time.
They introduced Woody, whom nobody had ever heard before or seen, as one of the Okies that we were raising money for. Because in those days, it was mostly Okies and Arkies and Texies that were the pickers of fruit and vegetables in California. And on stage, Woody was very relaxed. He'd tell a joke. You know, Oklahoma is a very dry state. I once saw several telephone poles chasing one little dog. And then he'd sing a song. My Oklahoma Hills, where I was born, or something like that. And then he'd tell another joke. You know, in Oklahoma, we got lots of oil in the ground. You want some oil, go down the hole and get you some. We got lead in the ground. If you want, get some lead, go down the hole and get you some lead. We got some coal in Oklahoma. You want some coal, go down the hole, get you some coal. You want food, clothes, or groceries, just go in a hole and stay there. And then he'd sing another song.
That is the late Pete Seeger remembering Woody Guthrie. The subject of My Name is New York, Ramblin' Around Woody Guthrie's Town, which is out this week, part walking tour, part audio reminiscence of the places and the people that populated Woody Guthrie's years here in New York. Anna Canone, his granddaughter, here with me in the Soundcheck studio. Your mom, Nora, narrates the set, and before there was the set, there was the book, and before there was the book, there were all these lyrics that your mom has found and distributed to people like Billy Bragg and Wilco and Klezmatics and all these other bands. So we have come to think of Woody more in a New York-centric setting over the past few years.
Yeah, definitely. When the Mermaid Avenue collection came out with Billy Bragg and Wilco, that was kind of the first time that anyone heard Woody's lyrics written in New York, which means they're about New York.
Right.
You know, at the bottom of This Land Is Your Land, he says, all you can write is what you see. So it's really important to know what Woody Guthrie is seeing, because that's what he's writing about.
And even with all the songs, even with all the lyrics that your mom has been, you know, uncovering over the years, there are still new discoveries, including on this box set, a song called My Name is New York, from which the set gets its title. Tell us the story of this.
Yeah, My Name is New York is a beautiful lyric that no one has ever heard because Woody was... he recorded it on a demo tape that he sent to his publisher. Woody had a hard time being in a big publisher's office where the phone is constantly ringing and he was having a hard time expressing himself. He was a slower talker, and in New York it was very fast talking. Mm. So Woody decided, I'm going to get a home recording tape and I'm going to record some songs, I'm going to record some ideas I have, and then I'm going to mail you the tape and then we can talk about it. So they're really demo tapes, but they're demos for a publisher. They're not demos for a commercial audience. So we have these demo tapes, and it just felt so right to find a wonderful home for this beautiful lyric where Woody really talks about why, what he's doing in New York City and why he loves it so much.
My name is New York. I've been struck by the wind, froze up, I'm blistered, I'm struck down again. Struck by my rich folks, struck by my bombs, struck by my mansions, and struck by my slums. I've been hit with diseases and troubles and pains, seen my kids die under car wheels and trains. I smell the smoke roll when it rolls from some hole where a cigarette spark takes 100 good souls. Called New York, I'm a brick on a brick, 1,000 folks running and some dying sick. I'm a saint, I'm a sinner, I'm a whore and her pimp. Your ocean's my mirror, I look in the primp. I'm a sewer pipe, a steam cloud, I'm a little girl fell down. My moon lamp shines in for your gowns to come down.
My name is New York, from Woody Guthrie, a demo tape, the good and the bad, the seamy underbelly of New York and the glittering skyscrapers of New York. It's all there in that song, Anna, and the set called My Name is New York, rambling around Woody Guthrie's town. And Woody did ramble in and out of New York over the years, between the 40s and his death in 67. Why was he so itinerant?
We've marked February 16th, 1940 as the date that Woody rolled into New York City. And he came from California, where the Depression and the Dust Bowl had been occurring. And Woody was living in migrant camps, working with Will Geer. And Woody was feeling censored, so he came to New York. Will Geer invited him and said, just crash on our couch for a little bit until you get set up, which is why he stayed at 59th and Fifth Avenue. And he came to New York, and then he lives in 11 locations in 3 years in Manhattan. And he's going all throughout the Greenwich Village. He's with the Almanac Singers and forming this communal lifestyle. And World War II breaks out. There's reactionary songwriting that occurs based on those events. And then he finds love with my grandmother, and they move out to Coney Island. It's a real natural evolution of a human being, I think. Mm. And what a beautiful way to note all the little places Woody lived and wrote and maybe slept one night. You know, he stayed on a couch one night with Pete Seeger and his friend and wrote Tom Joad. Just one night in April 1940.
So instead of the ubiquitous George Washington slept here kind of plaque, you're doing the audio plaques,
right,
of Woody Guthrie.
Right.
Slept here, wrote here. I mean, he did become a kind of New York fixture, including making a number of appearances here at WNYC with his friend Oscar Brand, one of which appears in the box set. This is Woody Guthrie visiting WNYC in 1950.
Although his live appearances were now less frequent, Woody did occasionally perform on radio shows. Here, he surprised Oscar Brand, host of WNYC's Folk Song Festival, with an unexpected visit.
So here is, quote, America's greatest living ballad writer, unquote, Woody Guthrie.
This here's called Swimmy, Swim, Swim. And I want to dedicate this to Nori Lee and to say hello to Abby. Well, I like to swim in my water, and I like to swim in my water. Water, water, and water. Swim, swim, swimmy, I swim. I like to float in my water. Well, I like to float in my water. Water, water, and water. Swim, swim, swimmy, I swim. Swim, swim, swimmy, I swim, and I swim. Swim, swim, swimmy, I swim, and I swim. Swim, swim, swimmy, I swim, and I swim. Swim, swim, swimmy, I swim.
And that was Woody Guthrie singing for
Thanks
you.
Thanks a lot, Oscar. I'll see you in the next club.
Woody Guthrie saying goodbye and fading off back into the distance.
Oscar Brand with Woody Guthrie on WNYC's The Folk Song Festival in 1950. So, Anna, this is part of the sound that you get when you're at the family apartment on Mermaid Avenue, right?
Yeah.
If you go to Coney Island and, you know, you stand in front of the apartment building, this is part of the story that's told.
Yeah, yeah. It's the apartment building is now a senior citizen home, but there is a small little plaque on one of the street corner signs that says Woody Guthrie once lived here.
Mm-hmm.
The Mermaid Avenue locations are so special because Woody lived in 11 locations in 3 years in Manhattan, and then he moves out to Coney Island and he lives in one apartment for 7 years. It's a very different experience. Mm. So he's really finding a home. He has a family. He's raising children. My grandmother is dancing with the Martha Graham Dance Company. He's having outside influences and experiences as a New Yorker. And my grandmother always joked that Woody felt at home in Coney Island because there was so much sand.
And once again, your mom, Nora Guthrie, is the producer and narrator whose voice we're hearing in these various clips. Now, we also hear stories from late in Woody's life after he's diagnosed with Huntington's disease. And one of the great stories of that period is also one of the most famous. Tell us about Bob Dylan's pilgrimage.
Well, the funny story that my mom always told me was that our home in Howard Beach at 159-13 85th Street in Howard Beach. Originally, there was a marsh at the edge of the street. So this was the last block in Howard Beach at the time. And there was a knock on the door, and my grandmother was teaching dance, so she was not home, and there was a babysitter. And my mom went, the babysitter answered the door, and she's wearing a Catholic schoolgirl uniform. And she answers the door, and kind of a grungy guy with a guitar over his back. And she said, "Can I help you?" And he said, "Yes, I'm looking for Woody Guthrie. Is this where he lives?" She said, "Yeah, I'm so sorry. I'm the babysitter. I'm not allowed to let anyone in. You'll have to come back another time," and closes the door. Now, he's made a really long pilgrimage, so he knocks again. And this time, my mother gets kind of irritated because she's watching American Bandstand. And to interrupt a 13-year-old when she's watching American Bandstand, she's not happy with it. So she goes and opens the door and says, "I'm sorry. Nobody's home. You have to go away and come back another time." And kind of slams the door on him. He doesn't know what's going on and starts walking away from the house feeling like this was not a great opportunity.
Because Howard Beach, you know, it was not an easy place to get to.
Exactly. He came so far. So he starts walking back down the street and Arlo comes out and he says, "Hey, man, you got a guitar. That's great. I play guitar. Come on back. Come on back." And invites Bob in and they played guitar out in the backyard for a while until my grandmother was able to come home after work. And she drove him back to the Euclid Avenue train station, where she then said, "Please come back anytime. I'm happy to bring you out to Woody." And he was at Brooklyn State Hospital at the time.
Mm-hmm. And we get to hear Dylan himself, on this box set, telling the story of how he went to see Woody Guthrie in Brooklyn State Hospital, which is in Flatbush, Brooklyn. So that, too, is part of this walking tour. We're saying walking tour. You really need to get on the subway.
You're going to need to get on various forms of transportation to get to all these places. Some of them are not even accessible by public transportation.
So he is, I'll use the word buried here loosely. He is buried here in New York. And
yeah,
that's kind of the conclusion of this set, too. Is there a family story about this moment as well?
Yeah. You know, so many people want to make their own pilgrimage and they want to have a spot that they can sit and reminisce or think back or pay homage to Woody Guthrie, and we've never really opened up as a family as to where that location was. This is really the first time that we really say it was on Beach 37th Street in Coney Island out on the Rock Jetty. And if you go out there, that is exactly what my grandmother and my mom and her two brothers went out. And they took the can of ashes of Woody's and they walked out onto the jetty and they tossed the can right there. So that's where Woody's ashes are, you know, and Nora tells it so beautifully on the box set.
They go, they throw the ashes into the water, and then everyone goes to have Nathan's hot dogs.
Yeah, when Woody was playing with the kids on the beach all those years in the 50s on Mermaid Avenue, Woody would take the kids to go have a hot dog at Nathan's and get the fries, and the fries were in the bag at the time, so you'd have to open a little salt packet, put it in, close up the bag, and do a little bit of a dance to get it all shaken around. So we always did that as kids.
Yeah. Anna Cannone is the granddaughter of Woody Guthrie. Her mom, Nora Guthrie, narrates the new box set called My Name is New York, rambling around Woody Guthrie's town. What a great way to remember your grandfather. Anna, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me, John.
I was standing down in New York town one day. Standing down in New York town one day. I was standing down in New York town one day, singing, hey, 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 hey.
Tomorrow on the show, legendary jazz trumpeter Clark Terry is the subject of a new documentary film called Keep On Keepin' On. But his long music career is just one part of what is an amazing story. We'll talk with the filmmaker, Hal Hicks. Plus, Clark Terry was a big influence on trumpeter Miles Davis, whose most famous work is undoubtedly the 1959 album Kind of Blue. We'll find out why a modern music ensemble has recreated that record, not just note for note, but breath for breath and tone for tone, tomorrow on Soundcheck. Plus, the great Malian guitarist and singer Rokia Traore joins us to play live. That does it for the show today. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.